Hello, my friends. Welcome back for this week's episode of the Pirkei Avos podcast. This is Rabbi Shlomo Kohn. Hope you are well. And before we begin this week's episode on the new mic, last week, you may remember the quality was not so good. I apologize again. But thank God, a new mic was dedicated by a loyal listener, Le'ili Nishmas Etel Hena Bas. Rabbi Shua Heschel, and Mayor Nisham have an aliyah. Additionally, if you enjoy this podcast, you might also like my other podcast on the Parsha of the Week. You can search for it by looking in the show notes below or by looking for the Practical Parsha podcast. Short, sweet, with a very practical lesson. And as always, if you have any questions, comments, or just would like to reach out and say hello, feel free to shoot me an email at Rabbi Shlomo Kohn, K-O-H-N, at gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. This week, we're continuing with Perek Gimel, Mishnah Hey. Chapter 3, Mishnah number 5. The Mishnah begins. Rabbi Chanina ben Chanichoy Omer. Rabbi Chanina ben Chanichoy says, Haneir Balaila, someone who stays awake at night, Vaha Mahalech Baderech Echidi, and someone who travels on the road alone, Umefane Liboy Levatala, and he turns his heart to idleness, Hareze Mischayev Benafsho. He is someone who is, I guess, he bears guilt for his soul. That's how it's translated. So we have three different points here in the Mishnah. But before I talk about the ideas in the Mishnah, I want to talk a little bit about Rabbi Chanina ben Chanichoy. Rabbi Chanina, the son of Chanichoy. Now the Mishnah, let's give a little background about Rabbi Chanina. He was actually one of the 10 martyrs. And he was a student of Rabbi Akiva, and his devotion for Torah study and diligence was unparalleled. The Talmud relates about Rabbi Chanina that he went to study Torah for 12 years straight, meaning he left his family and didn't return for 12 years. Now, obviously, it's hard for us to understand such a thing, but this was, you know, common in those days, and obviously he did it with the encouragement of his wife. And finally, his wife sent him a message, you know, your daughter is of marriageable age, you need to come back home. And he made his way back to the village where he was from, and he wasn't there in such a long time that he forgot the layout of the village of how to get to his house. You know, imagine leaving and the place where you live, and you come back 12 years later. You don't recognize anything. You don't recognize your own house. Where do you go? Till finally, he heard someone call out, daughter of Chanichoy. And he realized that this must be his daughter. He followed her back home to his house. Didn't know how to get there, but followed his daughter back to his house. And his wife was so shocked to see him that she died. She passed away. The Talmud tells us that Rabbi Chanina, he prayed and he was able to bring her back to life. He resurrected her and it was a miracle that she became back alive. Now, just to go into the ideas of the Mishnah here. So the first idea we see here is this concept of not wasting time. Right, so time is a present. We do hear a lot of times in our culture, like, kill time. Let's kill some time. That's not a Jewish outlook. We don't kill time. We use time properly. And I think the Mishnah is really conveying to us a certain sense of an outlook that we need to have when it comes to Torah learning and study and when it comes to time. The first thing we have to know is that what's the first lesson of this Mishnah? So it says, Haneor Balaila, someone who stays awake at night. right? And he wastes his time at night, or her time at night. You don't use it properly. Now, just to give a little bit of a background here, the day is when all the hustle and bustle happens. People work during the day. Things are happening in the day. Everyone's out in the day. Everything's, but by nighttime, things calm down. The workday's over and things come to a standstill. So on one hand, the night is an opportunity for us to focus on different things that we didn't have a chance to do during the day. For example, Torah study. Obviously, we have an obligation to support our families. We have to go to work. We need to spend our time during the day to earn a livelihood. But our workday, I guess for most people, ends 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. But after that, you're home. And most people that I know, they don't go to sleep till, I'll say 9, 10, 11, 12. So you're leaving yourself hours of time that you have no responsibility to fulfill. Obviously, there's family responsibilities. That's understood. That's important. And that people have spouses to give attention to. That's also important. And also, there's time for unwinding, your personal needs. But even if you give yourself all these times, you're still going to have ample amount of time left. So the question is, what do you do with that open time? Do you just waste it? Do you use it properly? Do you try to maximize it? Do you use it for Torah study? Do you use it for spiritual enrichment? And that's the first thought of the Mishnah, that when it comes to the time we have off, what's our default? What's the thing we go back to? Is it just switching on the TV? Is it reading something? Is it just, or do we try to go back to learning, to studying, to doing something productive? Now, sure, it's not the easiest thing to just have this default, go back to learning every time you have an open moment. But it's a mindset that we need to develop and work on if we ever want to get there, right? And I think a good tip to getting to a place where we, you know, utilize our spare time for Torah learning, for mitzvos, for working on ourselves, is if we maybe take, you know, a little bit of the time that we have and devote that, even though we normally wouldn't study during that time, but we use it for Torah study. We use it for something good. For example, I'll give a personal example. So when I run, I like to listen to music. It makes you go, it gets you going. It gives you, you know, especially the Jewish music has words of verses. It, you know, makes me, you know, think about the verses that I'm listening to. It gives me like a chizuk, gives me strength, makes me happy. But at the same time, I ask myself, maybe I should be using my time better. You know, sure, it's enjoyable to listen to music, but who says I need to listen to music the whole 35 minutes of running? Maybe I should just do one shiur, one Torah class while I run, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then the rest I'll do music, right? Obviously, I'm not saying it's wrong to listen to music when you run, but I feel for myself to push myself to study some more, to learn more Torah, I'll try to take a little bit of that time, which I would be using for other things, for music, for, I don't know, for even just to spacing out, and to use it in a better way. So I think we could all take this in our own lives somehow. You know, let's say we travel in the car. So let's say we space out, we listen to a talk show. So maybe think if you could take a little bit of that time and listen to a shiur. I actually know a really good one you could listen to on the Parsha on Pirkei Avos. Aside from that, the point is there's so much out there, and the way that we get to a place where we're not wasting our time and that default where we want to go back to learning is if we start small and use the times that, you know, we would probably be doing nothing or nothing productive and try to slowly incorporate, you know, Torah and using that time better, it'll help us increase it until we get to a point where our default is, I want to go back to learning. So even though it might seem a little bit much for us, the concept we need to have, if we ever want to aspire getting to that place of not wasting our time, you know, it's understood that there's certain times that we just can't learn, right? Because you have to work, you have to daven, you have to take care of yourself, take care of your family, you have response, you have to go food shopping, right? You can't not go food shopping, you have to take care of yourself. But there are plenty of other times where it's not learning time, right? Quote unquote, but it can be used in a positive way. And the way that you get to a place where you're always having that default is if you slowly incorporate that into your life. Now, another thought I heard about this first lesson in the Mishnah, right? Haner Belaila, one who stays awake at night. And then we said, Hamahalach b'derech yichidi u'mefan libo levatala, or someone who travels alone on the road but turns his heart to idleness. Indeed, he bears guilt for his soul. So we're saying here that wasting time and traveling alone and just not maximizing your times properly, you bear the guilt of your actions. There's one explanation which I thought was very interesting. Normally, we say that everything is in Hakol Bidei Shamayim. Everything's in the hands of heaven, chutz miyira shamayim, except for the fear of heaven. Now, means that we make our decisions, what we're going to do, what we're not going to do, but our circumstances are predestined for ourselves. Like how much money we're going to have, you know, how we look, who our children are going to be, our situation in life, that's set. But our decisions of doing good or evil, that's in our hands. That's what it means. Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyira shamayim. There is also the Talmud relates that Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz mitzinim pachim, that everything is in the hands of heaven except for colds. That the common cold. That's what it's referring to. Tzinim pachim is referring to the common cold. So what does that mean? What does the Talmud mean when it tells us everything's in the hands of heaven except for the common cold? What do you mean? God doesn't control that? So the commentaries explain on this is that we have a responsibility to take care of ourselves. So, right, your mother told you when you were a child that if you go outside without your coat on, you're going to catch a what? Catch a cold. And, you know, this is the famous question that people say, or the statement, they say, oh, if God exists, if God wants me to survive, I could walk blindfolded across the highway and I'll survive perfectly fine. No, that's irresponsible. That God doesn't want you to do that. God gave us life, and he also gave us the ability and the wherewithal to maintain that life, and he wants us to do it to the best of our ability. So when it comes to the common cold, there's things that we can do to prevent ourselves from getting sick to begin with, right? So if a person wears a coat, has good hygiene, right? These are things that we can do to prevent ourselves from getting the common cold. Obviously, if someone gets it after that, after they do everything they're supposed to do, it's out of their hands. But you can't blame a cold if you can't blame a situation where you went outside without your coat and it's freezing cold outside. You can't blame God if you got a cold after that. You caused it yourself. Now, when it comes to sleep, there's a lot of things we could do to, you know, to maximize our potential, to really reach our potential, to be the most we can be. One of those things, and I'm speaking to myself now because you see these bags under my eyes. You can't really see them, but I could describe them to you. There's these bags under my eyes, like runs in my family, that whenever I am tired, my eyes get like these raccoon eyes and a little bit puffy under my eyelids. That means I didn't get enough sleep. And it's very important for people to get the proper amount of sleep. I think it's brought down from the Rambam, from Maimonides, that 8 hours of sleep is needed for a person to function the proper way. Do you get 8 hours of sleep? I don't, but I should be, and I should be more on top of that to get more sleep. You know, obviously it's not so easy all the time, right? I'm sure for myself I'm saying that, and for you as well. But the point is that this is something in our hands to sort of reach our potential, to be the most we can be, to perform the best, is if we have enough sleep. And, you know, I notice myself, the days that I have a better sleep and I sleep better, it affects my mood, my day, my everything, because you have more sleep. You're just more energized. You're not as grumpy. You feel good. You accomplish more. And it's all chain reaction. And this is one of the understandings of the Mishnah, that someone just stays awake at night and wastes his time not getting the proper amount of sleep. He bears the guilt of his own actions, that things that happen after that, the things that, you know, the chain reactions that are caused from him having a night's sleep, him screaming at his wife, or, you know, being angry at his kids, or not having a productive day at work. That's, you know, whose fault is it? You can only look in the mirror for that, because you should have gone to sleep earlier. My father always says you should be gesund, that in yeshivas, in schools, they don't need a person. There's someone referred to as a vecker, someone who wakes the bachrim up in the morning to get them out of bed for shacharis, for the morning prayers. He says they don't need a vecker in yeshivas to wake people up in the morning. They need a vecker, someone to put the bachrim to sleep at nighttime, to make sure they go to sleep at the right time. And it's true. You know, obviously you have dorm counselors, but the point is that, you know, it's very important to get the correct amount of sleep. Now, if you turn to the Mishnah's second teaching from Rabbi Hanina ben Chanichoy, says one who travels on the road alone, right? So it's referring to also, it's, you know, just that I guess the times that a person can travel as well, you have a certain sense, just like night is a time where there's no distraction. Someone, when you travel alone, it's also you have the ability to utilize your time. You don't have as many distractions. A person's on business or is going away. So this time you can use to maximize to your benefit. And, you know, there was a Rosh Hashiva, a rabbi I heard speak, that he enjoyed, one of the things he loves airplanes. Why does he love airplanes? You know, we all can't stand airplanes. It feels like we're being locked in a tuna fish can for 3-4 hours. But the point is that he loves airplanes because on an airplane, can't have any phone calls. No phone calls in the airplane. You know, this is a very well-known rabbi. People are always constantly calling him for advice and for guidance. And when he's on an airplane, no one can get hold of him. There's nothing wrong with that. And he's able to maximize his time to learn, to study, to accomplish things undisturbed. And, you know, that's something, obviously, when we travel, sometimes we travel different reasons. We travel with our family, without our family, or we travel for business and it's under pressure. But I would take out from this that, again, it's these extra moments, these extra periods that we have, and it adds up. You know, a commute to work 20 minutes each way, if you multiply that, you know, 5 days a week times 52 weeks a year, that's a significant amount of time where you could really be accomplishing something. And if you don't look at it just in the 20 minutes, you look at it, okay, if I just do one thing, that small shear for 10 minutes, and you compound that every day, it builds up to something much greater, and you're able to come away with something that time would have just gone to waste. So now that's really the idea also when you travel, when you're away. And I want to add one more point to this as well, that just like, you know, when we travel as a, you know, as a Jew, you travel a certain way. If you keep, you know, person keeps kosher, you can't just travel. You have to pack food, and you have to pack, obviously, any travel, you have to pack clothing, to pack things. I mean, I never heard of anybody just goes on a trip without anything. I'm sure those people exist. But the point is, most normal people, when they travel, they just pack clothing, they pack everything they need. And a person, and a Jew packs food, and you pack tefillin, you pack everything you need as a Jew to live. But one thing that can't be forgotten in the equation is a book to study from, right? A sefer. Is what am I going to learn? What am I going to do on the trip? You know, my Rebbe, he always says you should be gesund. He says that you're always safer with a sefer. You always should bring a sefer with you whenever you go somewhere. You go to a doctor's office, just bring the sefer. Even if you're not going to learn from it, at least you're trying. You know, that's what I try to do sometimes. I don't always look at the sefer, but I'll always bring a sefer with me. Most places I go, I always bring something with me. Either, you know, I'll have it. So if I have the option, I want to study. Hopefully one day I'll crack it open and I'll use it while I study. But the point is that we have to have that mindset that when we go somewhere, that's the default. And that's how we get to that place that I was mentioning to before, where the default is going back to Torah study. If we constantly do actions, small actions that push us in that direction, so we're going to get there eventually. And finally, it says, "Umefanali b'levatala," really turns his heart to idleness. You know that we know the Talmud tells us that if a person who is idle, maybe lidei she'imos, it comes to, I guess, she'imos is, it's translated as like craziness. It just, if a person has that nothing to do, it leads to bad things. If a person just sits idle, it's not healthy. And I think we all see this, saw this during like COVID, right? They blamed all the riots after COVID on the fact that COVID people were locked up. But I don't think we have to even go that far to understand, you know, I think in the old, you know, they say a lot of the social problems that they see nowadays didn't exist 40, 50 years ago because people worked much harder. When they came home from work, people were exhausted. You know, people worked hard and they lived their life. They did what they needed to do. They didn't have time to get involved in all these issues and this and that and certain all these problems. They didn't have this need to go out and to, I don't know, all the different problems that have arisen, a lot of it didn't exist during that time because people worked very hard. They lived their life. They went to sleep, and the next day came. They didn't have time for all this other stuff to get involved in. So it's something we should keep in mind that Adam la'amo yulid, the person was born to work. It's healthy if we're busy, and I think I myself could say, and I think you probably agree as well, that the days that you worked hard, the days that you're busy, the days that you really put in a full amount of your time, you came around, you know, maybe it was a stressful day, but you feel so much better on those days than the days that you know, slow days, didn't nothing really happen, you didn't accomplish too much. You know, obviously, granted, sometimes not in your hands, you know, you try certain things sometimes and just doesn't go, the person doesn't pick up the phone call, you try five people, no one picks up the phone, you can't move forward on any project you wanted to do. But the point is that we all know how it feels on these two types of days. And I think everyone would agree that the days you come away with that sense of accomplishment of working hard is just a better feeling. You feel better about yourself. You sleep better. You're just better. It's just all around great. And that's really the Mishnah, what it's teaching us, that to use, just to recap on this Mishnah, it's just really using our time wisely, not wasting time, getting to that default mode where we're trying to use those spare moments, that spare time for Torah study, for getting closer to Hashem. And also at the same time, remembering that we have to do our part. We can't blame God on our lack of getting to a certain place if we didn't put in the extra time and the extra effort, you know, that or we wasted time. How could we tell Hashem, like, oh, I tried, but I didn't have success. Maybe we didn't try hard enough. But that's the point. So to not be idle, to work hard, to focus, and God willing, when we do that, we will, God willing, make our connection to Hashem stronger and stronger, to be the best we can be, and to fulfill our potential. So with that, I'm going to finish for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to reach out, please feel free to send me an email at rabbishlomocohen@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you.